Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, how are you this evening? And welcome to the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show, where I'm your host this evening, Servant Jason Felix, as we explore the mysteries of God. Welcome everybody. Well, I'm here live from the great city of Detroit, Michigan, where it can be snowing 1 minute, sun out the next. So with that being said, I just want to come to you today. This is a special day for me because this is my last broadcast in my age of the 40s, getting ready to step into the 50-50 club, a half a century. Time for me to take my jubilee. Oh, yeah, that means everything coming back to you. So with that being said, we need to learn the formula for success, and you find that in the book of Joshua. But before we go any further, I would just like to start by saying a prayer. Just right now, a prayer for those that may be in need. So, Father God, loving God, we pray that you will right now comfort those who are suffering. Lend skill to the hands of their healers and bless the means used for their care. Father, give them such confidence in the power of your grace that even when they are afraid, they may put their whole trust in you, our Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, by your patience and suffering. You hallowed earthly pain and gave us the example of obedience to your Father's will. So be near your lost souls right now in their time of weakness and pain. Sustain them by your grace that their strength and their courage may not fail. Heal them according to your will and help them always to believe that what happens to them here is of little account if you hold them in eternal life. Oh, you are our Savior. Oh, Lord, look upon them with eyes of mercy right now. May your healing hand rest upon them. May your life-giving powers flow into every cell of their body and into the depths of their soul, which will cleanse and purify and restore them to wholeness and strength for service in your kingdom. Oh, merciful Jesus, for you are our guide, the joy of our heart, the author of our hope, and the object of our love. For we come seeking refreshment and peace for the lost soul right now. Show them your mercy, relieve them of their fears and anxieties, and grant them a quiet mind and an expected heart, that by the assurance of your presence, they may learn to abide in you, who is our Lord and our God. Our Lord, lift them up for your blessings today. We pray that you will anoint them with strength and self-care today. Help them always, for we pray that you will give them grace, patience, and wisdom. We pray that, Father, right now, that you would encourage them throughout the day, that they can take the correct steps to walk proudly and behave well. Yes. We pray all these things for you in your master's mighty name. So, Lord, right now, heal that lost soul's broken heart. Fill them with the peace and joy we know that can only come from you during this hard time. Walk closely beside them during their journeys to healing and recovery that they know is possible through your power alone. Oh, blessed Father, in the comfort of your love, we lay before you the memories that haunt us, the anxieties that perplex us, the despair that frightens us, and our frustration at our inability to think clearly. Oh, help the souls right now, Father, to discover your forgiveness in their memories and know your peace in their distress. Touch them, O Lord, and fill them with your light and your hope. For all these prayers we ask in your master's mighty name, it's in Jesus' name we pray, Amen, amen, amen. So as I go into the book of Joshua, I'll go in for a few minutes. And when I come back from commercial, I would like to open up the lines for my people to come on in. And I think we have a special guest here from, I believe, from all the way from Ghana, if I'm looking at this right. We'll get into that a little later. But right now, my people, it is important that you know that we're coming into these last days. And with that being said, it is time for you to take possession of what's yours. So inside the book of Joshua, you get that formula. Because when we think about the five major books, right, you know, gets us on the way. You see, in the book of Genesis, I believe Israel was born. In the book of Exodus, Israel was chosen. And I believe in the book of Numbers, the nation was proven. And in the book of Leviticus, it was brought nigh by the blood. And in Deuteronomy, it was instructed. Now in the book of Joshua, it faces conflict and conquest. You see, the book of Joshua completes the redemption of Israel that was begun in Exodus. You see, Exodus is the book of redemption out of Egypt, and Joshua is the book of redemption into the promised land. Now, the key word in the book of Joshua is possession. See, God has given the children of Israel their land and an unconditional covenant. See, to Abraham, he said, you remember Genesis 17 and 8, that word 17. Well, let's go with Genesis for a minute. Genesis is believes in the beginning in that word. That number 17 means victory over the enemy, and the number 8 means new beginnings. So with that being said, he says, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land that wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Look at there. However, Israel's possession of the land was conditional. I need you to reflect on that. See, there was conflict and there was conquest. See, they had to fight battles and lay hold of their possessions. And as Joshua reminded them in his final message before his death, you see, their obedience to the word of God would determine their continued possession of the land. I just gave you a game right there. Hope it didn't go over your head. That's the formula right there. Your obedience to the word of God and will determine your continued possession of the land. You see, in the Talmud, it says that Joshua wrote all but the concluding five verses, which were written by Phinehas. They say Joshua was the successor to Moses. You see, he was a great general, born a slave in Egypt. He was 40 years old. Ooh, there go that number 40. He was 40 years old at the time of the Exodus out of Egypt, and he was 80 years old when he received his commission as Moses' successor, and 110 years old at his death. See, Joshua had already gained prominence during the wilderness wanderings. You see, when they were attacked by the army of Amalek, you see, it was Joshua who organized the men into an army that fought off Amalek. You see, Joshua served as a minister or a servant to Moses. You see, references to him in that connection reveal his loyalty to Moses and his devotion to God. Are you getting it? You see, it was at Kadesh Barnea, he was one of the 12 men who went to spy out the land of Canaan. Come on, that number 12 is up in there too, like the disciples. See, he was one of the two spies that returned with a favorable report and full confidence that God would give them the land. One could chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000 in flight. You need to recognize something. Let me give you some game. Joshua's name means Jehovah saves. The same word in the New Testament is Jesus. See, Joshua was the son, was a man of courage, dependence upon God, faith, leadership, enthusiasm, and fidelity. See, he is a type of Christ in his name and in his work. See, as another has said, Joshua shows that a man of average ability may become a leader in the church, and Joshua received his call not in flaming letters written across the sky, but from an older man who knew God and knew Joshua and saw that he was fitted by God to be a leader. Are you with me? So let me get you there. The book of Joshua has a very practical application to the believer today. See, the promised land cannot be a type of heaven, since heaven is not a place of conflict and conquest, right? You see, heaven is received as a gift of the grace of God. So rather, the promised land represents the place to which believers are brought right here in this world today. See, the book of Joshua corresponds to the epistle to the Ephesians in the New Testament, where we see that the believer is blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now, the practical possession and the experience of them depends upon conflict and conquest. See, these are never attained through the energy of the flesh, but through the power of the Holy Spirit in the yielding life of the believer. The book of Joshua, my people, is a pattern, a formula, and it illustrates the method by which the believer can possess what God has given to him. Come on now, I hope you're with me as we walk through these scriptures. See, in the first 12 chapters of Joshua, my people, the promised land is entered. Then in chapters 13 through 21, we see the land divided. See, the book concludes with the final message of Joshua to his people. Now, the great theme of Joshua, remember, is possession. In this first chapter, we will see what is meant by that. Now, the chapter opens with the Lord personally giving Joshua his commission and his command. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, the first word of this verse is now. It should be translated and, if you feel me, because it connects it with the final chapter of Deuteronomy. You see, and is what we would call a connective. You see, the minute the speaker says and, he says to keep talking because and connects something that has gone before with something that is coming. You with me? See, this supports the theory that Deuteronomy 34 was written by Joshua, because in the next verse he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. See, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, as we have seen, Moses was not essential to lead the children of Israel into the land. In fact, he could not bring them into the land of promise. See, Moses represented the law, and the law cannot save us. Come on now. The law is a revealer and not a redeemer. It shows us that we are sinners. Yes, the law was never a savior. You see, Moses could not lead Israel into the land because of his failure. You see, the problem was not with the law, but with Moses, just as the problem is with us. See, the law reveals that we have fallen short of the glory of God. See, Moses, my servant, is dead. See, only Jesus, our savior, our Joshua, can lead us into the place of blessing he has for us. Come on now, you see there was Adam and Jesus, now we got Moses and Joshua. This verse tells us that the land was given to Israel. Israel's ownership was unconditional. God had promised it to Abraham and who else? His offspring. See, God reaffirmed his promise again and again in the book of Genesis. You see, in the book of Deuteronomy, God made the Palestinian covenant with Israel, which gave them the land as an everlasting possession. Now watch verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. See, God has given them the land. The land is theirs, but their enjoyment of it depends upon their taking possession of it. Oh, are you with me? See, that part of the land upon which they walk would belong to them. See, comparatively speaking, we have been told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Now, unfortunately, very few Christians lay hold of the spiritual blessings that belong to them. See, years ago, as I remember, there was a fellow that had moved to the United States. It was a foreigner. I'm trying to remember where he's from. But soon after he had arrived, he dropped out of sight. Watch this. This story going to trip y'all out. See, one day his uncle in England died and left him $5 million. For real. Now, they say that Scotland Yard went about trying to locate this man whose last address had been in Chicago. Right? They searched for him but could never find him. Now, later I heard that he was found one morning frozen to death in the entryway of a cheap hotel. He could not even afford a 25-cent room, although he was the heir to $5 million. See, he did not claim what was his. He did not lay hold of what belonged to him. I hope you're following me. See, although God gave Israel the promised land, they never possessed all of it. As a matter of fact, Israel got very little of the land. See, many Christians today, my people, are like Israel, in that they are blessed with all spiritual blessings, and yet they die like bums in a doorway. I said it without claiming those blessings as their own. See, what a tragedy that is. You see, the book of Joshua is going to tell us how to lay hold of our possessions because there will be conflict. You see, we are told in Ephesians 10, come on now, to put on the whole armor of God. See, we have a spiritual enemy fighting against us. Plus, Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, our battle is with a spiritual enemy. See, we have to wear the whole armor of God. You see, the victory has to be won, my people. However, I don't get the victory. Me and you don't get it. The Lord Jesus gets the victory because the victory belongs to Jesus. Let me tell you what I mean. Because I believe in this in 1 John 5:3, what he says, for the true love of God is this, that we do his commands, keep his ordinances, and are mindful of his precepts and his teaching, and these orders of his are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. You see, you got to recognize, my people, the word of God and the order that God gives you in your spirit are not burdensome or oppressive, because everything he tells you is for your good and for your victory. See, God knows what it takes to live in victory in this present evil world. In fact, he is the only one who knows. See, the people of this world cannot tell you how to live victoriously. They don't know how. But God does. He can make things work even in the middle of darkness. And we'll, if we'll just follow his instructions, his command, and his precepts from his word, we can too. Let me give you an example. One commandment that God gave to us is to love one another and forgive one another as he has forgiven us. This command is not grievous because it's the key to our freedom. Yeah, I just blessed you. I hope you're listening. See, if you can walk in the love that's been shared abroad in your heart, you'll have joy every day. But if you don't walk in this commandment of love, someone will get your joy before lunch. Yeah, I said it. See, God knows that so. He made a command of love and forgiveness because love works. See, without love, there won't be any joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So here's the thing. Don't resent God's teaching. Don't consider his ways a burden to your lifestyle. Rejoice over them. Take them gladly by the hand and let them lead you all the way to victory. Come on now, I'm trying to bless you today. But here's the thing. We will get what Israel got, my people. That's deliverance and possessions. See, every victory Israel gained was given by God. And if you and I enter ever win a victory, he will win it for us. See, we will, my people, by faith, enter into these wonderful possessions. Do you hear me? Because in verse 4, he says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Let me break this down. God gave Israel, are you listening? God gave Israel 300,000 square miles of land, and the most ever claimed was 30,000, 10%. Ooh, ain't that your tire? I don't go there. See, they did not do it very well, did they? They took possession about a tenth of what God had given them. That is about the same amount of spiritual possessions claimed by believers today. I said it. Because in verse 5, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. See, Joshua, an average man that he was, needed to be encouraged. See, God encouraged him here in a most wonderful way. God says, I won't desert you. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Then in verses 6 and 7, he says, be strong and of good courage, for under this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. Twice God says to him, be strong and of good courage. See, he is encouraging him. Now notice something that is all important. Because in verse 8 he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, there were no written scriptures before Moses, and God communicated to Moses by speaking with him face to face. But Moses has faithfully recorded all that God had given to him so that the first five books of the Bible were available to Joshua and the people of Israel. See, in those books, God had given them all they needed to know to enter the land. They were not to depart from it. They were to meditate on it and observe to do it. That's all they had to do. That verse 8 let them know he'd given them a new beginning. He was ready to do it because Joshua means Jehovah saves. That very next verse he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. See, Joshua, my people, is to take the word of God in one hand and a sword in the other. Yeah. He is to move out by faith. See, God encourages him again to be strong and courageous. Oh, my people, like Joshua, we as believers need to be strong and courageous. We need to possess our spiritual possessions by faith. You've got to remember that we are in enemy territory. Come on now, I want y'all to think about that as I take this break. And when we come back, we're going to open up the line so we can discuss about taking possession of what's ours. Because ain't nobody seems to be worrying. I'll be right back.
Ain't nobody worrying. young and the mothers are suffering. Ain't nobody praying when they kneel down low. All they doing is tying the shoestring. Ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn when their stomach starts to burn, cause they ain't got food to eat. How the children gonna learn when they gotta take turns, cause they ain't got books to read? Then our babies turn to crime, started getting high, cause the job train's kinda slow. Cause ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. When the tears start to fall and you can't see your way, just will carry on.
Ain't nobody worrying, when will it end, when will it end? We all in this together, it takes a village. And welcome back to the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show with your servant Jason Felix, live from Detroit, Michigan. So I want to open up the lines. I want you to press up to put your hand up so I can let you on in, and I'll let you talk about taking possession of what God has promised you and what it means to you to be God's child and to know what, if you believe, you will receive. So anybody out there this evening would like to come on and say a word, just go on and press the number one on your phone. All right, all right. So we're going to rock and roll with this. I don't want to hold nobody back, but hey, we're going to keep it moving and grooving. And if you got something to say, raise your hand. Just press the number one. So in it, I want to get back and piggyback to what's going on. Moses has died, and God has told Joshua that he must cross over to the promised land and take possession. He has given him the formula for success, just like we need to understand what he has told him. You see, he told him off the rip what he needed to do, and that was to obey, be strong and courageous, be not dismayed, and I will be with you, is what he is telling him. And that's what you need to do. You got to be bold in this walk. You got to be a fanatic. Now watch what happens in verse 10 of chapter 1 of Joshua, because it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. See, Joshua right here, right? He took charge, and he didn't do it by presumptuous, but in confidence. You see, he did it by, he did it because God told him to do it. See, God had told Moses he would be with him. And when Moses returned to Egypt after spending years in Midian, he was fearful. But God said, I believe in Exodus 4:12, now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. See, this was God's method. See, when God called Jeremiah in a dark and difficult day, he said, Jeremiah 1:19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. See, we need the kind of conviction and courage spoken about in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, what it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, I believe it was Psalms 118:6, when David first said these words, which were quoted in Hebrews, he turned his mind and heart away that from which that was seen to that which was unseen. It means that he became occupied with the living and true God. He had recognized the spiritual bond that was between him and the Lord. See, his soul was bound up in a bundle of life with God. And you see, he could say, the Lord is my helper. David knew that the Lord could deliver him. Now recognize this. Joshua believed God. God had encouraged him and told him to step out. You see, the word of God was to be his authority. It was not to depart out of his mouth. See, he was to meditate on it day and night. He was to do what was written in the word. That is the formula of faith, my people. I hope you're paying attention tonight. Because verse 11 tells us, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you visuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. Come on, what else type of confirmation you need right there? See, Israel's ownership of the land is unconditional, but Israel's possession of it is conditional. See, Israel had to go take the land. The key word of the book of Joshua is not victory, my people. It is God who gets the victory. The key word here is possession. Israel is to possess the land. Now, a little later on when Israel got into the land, the manna ceased, and they ate the old corn of the land. You remember that? See, that would be the corn they captured from the enemy, old corn, because they hadn't had a chance to grow it. As you can recall, they had to gather manna every day. See, manna would not keep. If it was kept for more than a day, it became unfit to eat. See, the children of Israel had to gather manna every morning. That is why we are told in Ephesians chapter 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time job, my people. You do not go to the gas station once and tell the attendant to fill up your tank and then seal the tank because you will never need more gas. That would be presumptuous. In fact, it would be foolish and quite stupid. But there are many Christians, however, who think that they can have one experience and that's it. Oh, my people, my people, my people, if you're going to walk with him and live for him, you will need a daily filling of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, since you fill up your physical man 3 times a day, it would not be as bad to fill up your spiritual man 3 times a day. We all need a constant filling of the Holy Spirit, a looking for him and a resting upon him, a yearning for him. Because in verse 12, he says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, spank Joshua, saying, he's still giving them game. These 2.5 tribes did not cross over the river to settle there, and we find their defection very early. See, Moses was still alive when they came to the east bank of the Jordan, and you will find that they made a request recorded in Numbers chapter 32, verses 1 through 5. He says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, they behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, saying, wherefore, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession. And bring us not over Jordan. This was the specific request of 2.5 tribes. They were asking for land on the wrong side of the Jordan River. Now watch this. Verses 13 through 15, because it says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God have given you rest and have given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. To the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he have given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. Now answer me this question, my people. You done escaped Egypt. You done got away free. You done found your land. You ready to settle down with your family. But God said, hold on, hold on. I'm going to need you to finish this journey before you chill. What would you do? See, Joshua is reminding them that Moses had given them permission to live on the east side of the Jordan on a condition, that their army would help the other tribes possess their land on the west of the river. See, this they agreed to do. Conflict and conquest. Because verses 16 through 18 says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us we will do, and whatsoever thou send of us we will go, according as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest thee, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. There you go again. Perhaps you're asking the question, well, what is wrong with dwelling on the east side of the River Jordan? Well, I'm so glad you asked. It is so essential to cross over the Jordan, my people. It is not the east bank of the Jordan River part of the promised land. That might question. See, such questions are pertinent and required that we look at the passage of Scripture in which lies the account of the crossing of the Jordan River, which we will do shortly. See, crossing the Jordan River was symbolic of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, I just blessed you again. See, under no condition, however, does it set forth our physical death. We often sing the old song, O Jordan, stormy banks I stand. To begin with, that is not a stormy stream. Neither do you and I stand on the stormy banks. Christ alone was nailed to that cross and hanging there bore all the storms of the judgment of sin. When the storms of the judgment fell on him, they fell on us. The River Jordan speaks of sanctification. The death of Christ was for our sanctification, my people. You see, in the book of Judges, we find out that the 2.5 tribes made a big mistake, stand on the wrong side of the Jordan. And also, when Christ crossed the Sea of Galilee and came to the country of the Herodians, he found the Jews in the pig business. Aha! They started off wrong on the wrong side of the Jordan River. See, many Christians are in the pig business today and are frustrated. They ought to enter into the rest he has provided in his death and his resurrection. Come on now. What you got to say today? Talk to me. I want to open up the line for caller 882-8826. Come on in and talk to us this evening. What's on your mind?
Evening, good evening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. I love the story of Joshua, and I love where you have taken us thus far, Elder. But you know how where I'm at on the east side of the Jordan River. I want to, because it reminds me of how we as people of God can find ourselves on the wrong side of the promise. Okay? God
yes.
has given us promise and after promise, but some of us sometimes want to get ahead of God and do it our own way, and we end up missing the blessing. It was sad to see so many who weren't going to be able to make it to the promised land. It was sad to see so many who couldn't even believe what they were going to come into. But what the command was when the Lord asked them to go and overtake the place, and the disobedience that lies once that occurs, is a great picture of the church of today.
Yes.
Because we have a duty to do exactly what God has commanded us to do, and that is to go and tell people that he did not come to deal with sinners in the way in which everyone thought he would, but he came so that sinners would have life through him. And over and
yes,
again,
ma'am.
He continues to tell them in Joshua to be courageous and to be of good courage. Why? Because I am with you. Why? Because I've already given this to you. There's nothing you really have to do but walk in it. And we as people of God have a difficulty of walking into something blindly. Blindly. That's how it's love and the trust of God must be in your heart, to trust him blindly, to trust him knowing that even if I don't see it, if he said it, it is. If he said it, I'm walking in it. Joshua had that courage. Joshua said, I'm going in, regardless of what anybody else says, I'm going in. And how many of us today have that courage? Even after having Jesus die on the cross for us, have that courage to go and possess the land that God has given to us today. The book of Revelation says that we are standing under an open heaven. How many of us as people of God are acting on what? The only prophecy that has been given in the New Testament. You know, we love to read the Bible, and we love to keep it, you know, hidden in our hearts. But these things that actually were done were pioneering. These were what I want to call people who forged the way. There's not many of us who are willing to forge the way. Why? Because we don't want nobody to be separated from us. We're afraid to lose a friend. We're afraid to stand by ourselves. Joshua wasn't afraid. He didn't care what nobody else thought. He believed that God would bring him through it. How many of us doubt what God has told us about even our ministries today, where he's taking us? Are we walking toward it? Or are we sitting back questioning what God has said? I just want us to have the courage to believe God. I just want us to have the courage to believe God. It's not us that's going to do it. He said, just walk. I'm going to take care of everything else. Just walk in the direction in which I'm directing you. I'm going to open up every door that you need opened. I'm going to make sure everything that you need is there. There will be nothing missing, nothing broken. We have to have that unwavering trust. By now, how long has he proven himself to us outside the Bible? How long has he proved himself to us in our own personal lives or to the lives of those that we preach to and those that we minister to, that we don't have the boldness like Joshua to go and say, I'm going to possess this land because God has given it to me. Has he given us anything? Yes, he has, because he's a giving God. He wouldn't leave us forsaken. So I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about the story about Joshua, and it just renewed and refreshed in my spirit to be courageous and to be bold, not in my ability, not in my knowledge, because his thoughts are not my thoughts. His thoughts are way higher than mine, but in Christ. Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for him. Nothing's too hard for him. If he said that we can overtake it, if he said you can go and get it, Don't ask no questions about what, when, or why. Just say, the Lord did it again.
Yes.
But look at what the Lord has done again. But Joshua's work was really part of a larger work. It unified theological outlook, and it tells a story of Israel from a time when Moses was of Babylonian exile. You know, the composition of the whole work is attributed to individuals or groups who use the laws and the stories of Deuteronomy as the basis of their theology. And many scholars argue for the existence, at least, that the first writing during the reign of King Josiah is the last half of the second writing after the Babylonian exile. So after we read and put those two stories together, we see what was actually written. It's an excellent pericope of scripture to tear apart, and I'm glad that you opening it up for us on tonight, and I'm grateful that I made it on the line so that I could get some of these good nuggets that you've been putting out, so I can add them to my arsenal. I sure appreciate you. Thank you so much, and God bless each and every one of you that are here on the line tonight. It's a blessing. God bless you.
God bless you. That was Elder Johnson out of Detroit, Michigan. Dale, Michigan. Yes, yes, yes. Big ups to our Bishop, Bishop Cedric Robinson, and our First Lady, LaTanya Robinson. I just want to thank everybody on tonight and just understanding who you are and whose you are and learning formula for success in your walk as a believer. It's so important that we take the right steps, but just so you understand what I mean, because you have to be a believer in order to receive what needs to be given to you. And that just makes me want to give you something because I believe it's on my spirit right now, right quick, if I can just get it. I believe it's Matthew chapter 15. And it was in verses 12 through 20, because you got to believe this, you got to want this in order to get this. It's just, you can't be lukewarm, you got to be in or out. Because in verses 12 and chapter 15 of Matthew, it says, then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever gets into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." See, what I want you to recognize is this. Let me tell you a story. There was a rescue mission that was nicknamed Operation Noah's Ark. Might sound fun for some animal lovers, but it was a nightmare for the Nassau Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. See, after this, after receiving complaints about a noise and a horrendous stench coming from a certain house, these workers had entered this Long Island home and found and later removed more than 400 animals from their neglected conditions. See, we may not be holding hundreds of animals in filthy conditions, but Jesus said we might be harboring evil and sinful thoughts and actions in our hearts that need to be exposed and removed. See, in teaching his disciples about what makes a person clean and unclean, Jesus said it isn't dirty hands or whatever enters the mouth that defiles a person, but an evil heart. See, the stench from our hearts, my people, will eventually leak out from our lives. Then Jesus gave examples of evil thoughts and actions that come out of the heart. See, no amount of external religious activities or rituals can make them clean. We need God to transform our hearts, my people. See, we can practice Jesus, you see, inside out by giving him access to the qualia of our hearts and letting him remove what causes the stench. See, as Christ uncovers what's coming from our hearts, he'll help our words and our actions be aligned with his desires. See, the aroma of our lives will eventually please him. So as you move along today, ask yourself this question. Why is it important to take frequent inventory of your heart? And how can you seek God's help? I want you to meditate on that today. Something to think about as you get your walk and how you move in this thing that we do today. And I believe we had a visitor from, I think from Guana, trying to get him on the line, seeing if he's available. Your line is open, my brother, if you got a moment to speak. Anything you want to say to the world? All right, my brother. We'll get him together. So, with that being said, I just want to keep moving and keep moving forward. I would love for our next time to get in because in chapter 2 is really when it gets a little juicy and starts lining up, Christ's birth line. Yeah, that's what my lady with the name of Rahab. See, I want to just tell y'all about it to get you juicy for 2 weeks because next week I won't be here. But here's the thing. You see, in chapter 2, there will be introduced to you a woman, a very shady character because she was a prostitute and her name is Rahab. See, the remarkable fact is that in the New Testament, she is listed with those who are commonly called the heroes of faith. See, it was by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Now, I do not like to think of Hebrews 11 as a record of heroes of faith because that puts the emphasis on humanity. I like to put the emphasis upon faith. See, the men and women recorded there illustrate what faith did in all ages, under all circumstances in their lives. See, for us, it means that faith can do the same thing for us, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Was that Hebrews 12:1? Ooh, came out of nowhere. Another startling fact, my people, is that Rahab is in the genealogy of Christ. Yeah, I said it, the prostitute. See, the New Testament opens with that genealogy, and you don't read 5 verses of the New Testament until you come to this woman's name. How did she get into the genealogy of Christ? She got there by faith. As you can see, the chapter before us introduces a remarkable woman, and we'll get into that next week. So before we go, I would love for my sister to pray us out. If you could, Elder Candy, give us a word on the way out.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come right now once again, mighty Master, in the name of Jesus, giving you honor, glory, and praise, oh God, thanking you for this day that you made, thanking you for including us in it, oh God, thanking you for your promise, oh God, where you said that your word would go forward and do what it's purposed to do in each one of our lives, and it shall not return unto you void. We thank you, oh God, where you said where 2 or more were gathered together in your name, oh God, that you are there in the midst. And we thank you for being with us on tonight as we talk about your son, Joshua. We thank you, oh God, for the story of success, oh God, that you show us through him, through his obedience, oh God, through his willingness, oh God, and through his faithfulness. Allow us to learn a lesson of faith, oh God, and trusting you that our faith will grow, oh God, and that we will be strengthened, oh God, from faith to faith, oh God, from glory to glory to glory. Father, we love you. We trust you. We honor you. We thank you, oh God, hallelujah, for your Holy Spirit that you left here for us, oh God, to dwell with us, to keep us, to rule, rest, and reside in us, oh God, to convict us, oh God, when we need to be convicted, and to correct us, oh God, when we need to be corrected. Father, help us to repent and to ask for forgiveness, oh Lord, for the things that we have done that were not pleasing in your sight, oh God, that you, oh God, will be free to grant us new mercies every morning. Father, we thank you, oh God, for the many blessings in which you plan to give to us, oh God. You said that, oh God, that you would bless us, oh God, from the third to the fourth generation, Father. So we are looking forward to all that which you have promised us, oh God, as we remain faithful unto you, oh God. Let us not become weary in well-doing, oh Father, for that we shall reap the benefit of a great reward. The only thing that we do for Christ shall last. Father, we thank you for this night that we are able to share your word, and we pray, oh God, that we will be able to grow from it, oh God, so that we will be able to grow someone else. In Jesus' matchless name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen, amen. One more time for Elder Candy. Thank you for that wonderful prayer. I want to bring on the line my brother from Guyana. He just wanted to give us a word or two about what's going on over there. Your line is open, my brother, all the way from Africa. Come on in and say something to us.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we thank God for this gathering and for such a great, wonderful time like this to hear from the Lord through his manservant and through anyone appointed to share God's word tonight. And we are much grateful. I'm William Nyakun, officially known as I'm Intercessor Okodie Willie on Facebook, officially known as William Nyakun, from Ghana, West Africa. And this morning, actually it's 1:56 here in Ghana. I was invited by man of God, Jason, to be part of tonight's gathering, and I'm much grateful. And tonight I want to say that I'm really blessed by the word shared. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen to that. All the way from Ghana, Africa, my people. When I say it's worldwide, it's worldwide. Come on now. God is good. All you got to do is do what you're supposed to do. Take possession. Do what you're supposed to do. When you need to be used, God will get you to where you need to be for his purpose. Always remember that. And before I go, I need to leave y'all with three words. Before I even say that, at 11 o'clock tonight, we are going live for intercessory prayer. I'm talking about standing in the gap. It's time for war. We got to stand in the gap and pray for those in need. So if you want to be a part of it, I want you to call on in 202-926-1144. That's 202-926-1144. And the passcode is 511407, 511407#. I want to hear your voice tonight. Be that intercessor. Be that one. God said, love him with all your mind, heart, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So always love and always forgive. And if you believe, you will receive. And I leave you with these three words. Jesus is Lord.
You got to believe it. You know that love, it changes like seasons.
you.
Thank